And now, Don Blackwell.
Today we're going to be studying another picture from Luke 16, beginning in verse 19. In our last study together, we looked at a picture of paradise. It was a study of the poor beggar named Lazarus, who died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, that is, the place called paradise. We also looked at the fact that Lazarus is now comforted in a way that is beyond compare, a comfort to which we may look if we are faithful children of God, as he was a faithful child of God. We notice that in the picture of paradise, that there is a great gulf fixed between the righteous and the unrighteous, and it is there forevermore. Sin will never trouble us again when this life is over, if we find ourselves in paradise. But there is another side, another picture that can be seen in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. But this picture is not so pleasant. In fact, it's not pleasant at all. It is a picture of punishment. And as we look at the life after this one, I want you to notice what happened to the rich man. The Bible tells not only about Lazarus, but also about a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and the text says he fared sumptuously every day, verse 19. In other words, he had riches. While Lazarus was a very poor beggar, the rich man had all that this life had to offer. But I want you to notice that ultimately both of these men found themselves facing the same thing. Ultimately, they both died. But they found themselves in very different pictures after death. Listen to Luke 16, beginning in verse 23. And in hell, he, the rich man, lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He saw Abraham, and he saw Lazarus in paradise. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I want you to notice that Lazarus is rich spiritually. Now he is, because he has found himself in paradise. But that wasn't the case when he was alive. When he was living, he was a very poor man. He's described as being a beggar. Now the reverse is true with reference to the rich man. The rich man lived a life in which he had all that this earth had to offer. But now he finds himself tormented. And he finds himself where there is a great gulf fixed between paradise and between torment, and where nothing can change that condition. Friends, this is a very important point for us to understand, because some people think and they teach that when this life is over, that there may be a chance for someone who is in hell, who is in torment, to be able to get out of that awful place. But such is not taught in the Scriptures. No, nothing will ever change that. When this life ends, we will either be in eternal punishment or eternal reward. This is what the passage is teaching us when it says there is a great gulf fixed. That's what Abraham told the rich man. He said, you cannot come to us and we cannot go to you. And that will never change. Friends, that's a very serious and sobering thought, is it not? That when I leave this life, my eternal destiny will be sealed. That the way I have lived upon this earth will determine where I will be for all eternity, whether I will suffer in agony and pain for all eternity, or whether I will be comforted in the presence of the Lord. In Luke 19, verses 27 and 28, and Luke 16, rather, we find recorded another request of the rich man to Abraham. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, the rich man wanted Abraham to allow Lazarus to go back to his five brothers who were still living, and to tell them about this awful place of torment. He did not want them to come to be there with him. You know the old expression that says, misery loves company. Likely you've heard that. But I want you to notice that in torment, that is not the case. Misery does not love company. And in fact, there's no comfort in company in torment. But I want you to notice what Abraham's response was to him. Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said to him, "If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even if one rose from the dead." In other words, he said, they have the words of Moses and they have the words of the prophets. Now, they did not have Moses literally living with them. Moses had died many years before this. This is a figure of speech used in the Bible where Moses is put for the teaching or his law, and the prophets are used with reference to the words of the prophets. In other words, Abraham was saying to the rich man, your brothers have the law of Moses. Now, remember, the law of Moses was the law under which these two men lived and died. Friends, today you and I live under the new law, the New Testament. It is the new covenant of Christ. But the principle is the same. We must still be obedient to the Word of God. What this passage tells us is the Word of God is complete. It is able. It is powerful. It is all that we need to know and to do to please God so that we may one day enjoy eternal reward. And so Abraham said, they have the writings of Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them, or let them obey them. But I want you to notice the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. You see, he thought that if they could simply see a miracle, they would repent. Abraham said in the last verse of this chapter, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even if one rose from the dead. I want you to consider the question with me. Was Abraham wrong? Certainly he was not. Abraham said to this rich man, if they will not hear the word of God, if they will not obey it, even if a person rises from the dead, they still will not change. Now, is that true? Certainly, friends, it is true. You know, there may be some today who think that if they could see a miracle, if they could see someone rising from the dead, that that would produce faith in their hearts. But the key is, the heart itself must be right in order for faith to be produced. If the heart is right, then we may have faith by reading of the miracles recorded for us in God's Word. In other words, the Word of God is designed to produce faith. You see, we no longer need miracles to be performed in order to do that. We have the miracles recorded to produce faith. That's what John said in John 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. No, if the heart is not open and receptive to the Word of God, even seeing a miracle will not produce faith. We can see that from this example, also that we find in John 11, where Jesus raised another man, a different man named Lazarus, from the dead. When he raised this Lazarus from the dead, John 11 tells us that many who saw the miracle did believe. Yes, they became believers in Jesus Christ. But verse 46 of John 11 says, but some of them, those who saw the miracle, went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. In other words, instead of falling at the feet of Jesus and becoming his followers when they saw the miracle, they simply went away to tell the Pharisees what had happened. You see, they did not become believers. Therefore, we have an example of where even a miracle did not produce faith. Now, we ask the question, why? The answer is, it is because their hearts were not open and not receptive to the will of God. But friends, if hearts are open and receptive, the reading of the New Testament, the reading of the Bible, and seeing it in the Word of God will produce the kind of faith that will cause us to act. It will cause us to repent of our sins, to confess Jesus as the Christ, and to be buried with him in baptism for the forgiveness of our sins, that he might add us to his church that we read about in the New Testament. When we have been added to that church, we can know that we are worshiping and working according to the pattern for that church that is also found in his Word. Friends, as we are members of the Lord's church, and as we are faithful to the church, even unto death, then we can look forward to the paradise of God, not the punishment from God, throughout eternity. How important is it for us to understand the power of the Word of God to produce faith and to guide us to heaven? That is what we must learn from the rich man who wanted Lazarus to go back and let his brother see a miracle. But Abraham said, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, that is, if they will not hear the word of God, they will not be persuaded, even if one rose from the dead. What about you today? Are you willing to hear the word of God? If so, are you willing then to obey it, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be willing to repent? That is, to change your mind and then your life, to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. Friends, if you talk to people in the world today, you will hear many different plans of salvation being taught. But when you read the Bible, you will find only one. It is one that is consistently taught and that every person in the New Testament obeyed. Five simple steps that a person must obey to become a Christian. First, a man must hear the Word of God in order to be saved. Romans 10 and 14. Upon hearing it, a man must believe it. In Mark 16 and 16, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. In fact, in John 8 and 24, Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Upon hearing it and believing it, a man must repent of his sins. Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Upon hearing it, believing it, repenting of one's sins, a man must confess his faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that good confession. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And then a man must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. I know that there are people in the world who will say baptism has nothing to do with salvation. But the Bible still says in 1 Peter 3 and 21, the like figure whereunto baptism does now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God.